If there had been no Winston Churchill, I'm not certain America would be in its preeminent position today. Winston Churchill ought to be remembered because in May 1940, when it would have been easy to accept peace terms from Hitler, he stubbornly said no.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie for Reason TV. Today I'm talking with Mike McMenamin, the co-author with Kurt Zoller of Becoming Winston Churchill, The Untold Story of Young Winston and His American Mentor. Who was Burr Cochran and why was he important to Winston Churchill?
Cochran, who was an Irish-American Democrat, congressman, lawyer, and orator. He was acclaimed during his lifetime, roughly during the last 10 years of the 19th century, first two decades of the 20th century, is America's greatest orator. I mean, William Jennings Bryan was inspired by Cochran. William Jennings Bryan wouldn't appear on the same stage with Cochran because he didn't like the competition. Cochran was a Tammany Democrat who never served more than two terms in Congress at a time because he couldn't be controlled by Tammany. He was independently wealthy as a lawyer. And he was a big deal in New York. He had an estate in Long Island. I mean, he came to America when he was only 18. But by the time he was 40, he was making $100,000 a year as a lawyer. That translates today into $2.3 million a year. He had a home on Fifth Avenue. He had a 300-acre estate on the Gold Coast in Long Island.
What was his political profile then? What were the basket of issues that he cared about?
He was a classical liberal. He was a close advisor to Grover Cleveland, who was perhaps the last classical liberal Democrat to hold the office. He believed in free trade. He supported trade unions at a time when the government was using the antitrust laws to suppress unions. He opposed the death penalty. He was a strong supporter of civil rights, of civil liberties, free speech. He was everything that was good then about the Democratic Party.
Let's talk about Winston Churchill. How did Cochran create Winston Churchill?
Churchill was only 20 years old when he met Cochran, who then was 40. Churchill's father had recently died. Churchill loved his father, wanted to live up to his father's expectations, but his father's handling of Winston was negative. Winston could never do anything good enough to please his father. Cochran came along, met him, and was immediately impressed by him. And instead of tearing him down, which is what Winston's father did, because Winston wanted to go into politics, he wanted to follow his father, but no one was telling him he was good enough. Now, Churchill had a very strong ego. He certainly thought he was good enough, but Cochran recognized in Churchill the kind of things that Churchill saw in himself. And some of their letters, some of Cochran's letters to Churchill, show the important role that Cochran had in validating Churchill's career. And he's telling Churchill this when Churchill is only 21, and no other adults, except perhaps his mother, are telling him this. And young people need a mentor who will validate their dream, who say, yeah, kid, you can do it. You've got it in you.
What are the classical liberal strains that Cochran implanted or pulled through Churchill?
It starts with free trade, because back then, in America, at least, big business controlled the Republican Party, and they didn't want competition from abroad. Cochran, being a Democrat, representing lower-income people, the fact is that the protectionism costs the lower class more. It raises the price of food, it raises the price of everything. And Cochran was such a magnetic, spellbinding speaker that he could explain it in language people would understand. There's a great speech he gave in the London to the Liberal Party in 1903, where he's talking about free trade and protectionism. And he said, look, If they're trying to sell you stuff less than what you can buy it here in this country, what's the harm? He said, if someone is trying to take coins out of my pocket, I'm going to resist him with everything I have. On the other hand, if he keeps putting coins into my pocket, the only thing I'm going to do is urge him to keep going if he shows signs of becoming tired.
Were there other issues besides free trade that he pushed Churchill into a classical liberal position or framework?
Well, simply a thought that government is not the source of wealth. If you read some of Churchill's speeches back at that time, compare them to Cochrane's, you can see that they have a similar style, although it's not as if he's aping Cochrane. He has his own language. The one quote I recall is from Churchill, and he must have gotten this from Cochrane. For a government to think it can tax itself into prosperity is like a man standing in a bucket thinking he can lift himself by the handles. So he gave Churchill a healthy distrust of government and other organizations, like the organized church in England, that could hold power over people. And so when you read their biographers describe the core of their beliefs, both Churchill and Cochrane, independently, the answer is liberty. That is what drove both men. And you shouldn't discount the power of Churchill's speeches. Throughout his life, he credited Cochrane with teaching him how to speak.
Thank you, Mike. Our guest today has been Mike McMenamin, a Reason contributing editor who's also the co-author with Kurt Zoller of the book Becoming Winston Churchill, The Untold Story of Young Winston and His American Mentor.